Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the scriptures together this morning. We're going to be reading Psalms 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not be afraid. Though the earth trembles and the mountains topple into the depths of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with its turmoil.
There is a river, its streams delight the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is within her. She will not be toppled. God will help her when the morning dawns. Nations rage, kingdoms topple. The earth melts when he lifts his voice. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come see the works of the Lord, who brings devastation on the earth. He makes wars cease throughout the earth. He shatters bows and cuts spears to pieces. He burns up the chariots. Stop your fighting and know that I am God. Exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Amen. We have a wonderful service today, a deacon ordination service. And so this morning, as we think about take my life and let it be consecrated, this verse from Romans 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, brothers, and by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship.
The church has been so good, so full of wisdom to select our three newest deacons to serve for 3 years. What I told our deacons in the ordination council, if you've got to give a man a title to make him a deacon, you're not ever going to have a deacon. And what y'all did was you looked out from among us and saw the men who were already doing deacon ministry. And you nominated them, then we talked with them and we voted on them. They've been through the ordination council with our other ordained men and passed with flying colors. And they're ready and willing and they're just rolling. They're ready to serve as your newest deacons. And we're ordaining one young man from Kenwood. So grateful to have our Kenwood family with us. Amen. And where is Danny Champagne? Where are you, Danny? Come on up. Come on up. Here's his favorite Bible verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is his life's verse because this brother does all things at Kenwood. Amen? And his spiritual gift is the gift of ministry, the gift of service. And anytime I've ever been out to Kenwood at any event they've ever had, of anything that they're doing, guess who's out there serving? Danny. And so, brother, I just want you to know it's a privilege to have you on board with us, and you're going to serve for the next 3 years, and we are grateful for what God's doing at Kenwood. Ron, their other deacon, is with us, and his sweet bride, and we just are just thrilled with what God's doing right now at Kenwood Baptist Church, and their sweet pastor and wife and kids are with us this morning, and I want you to know, in this season of prayer and fasting, I believe God's been trying to tell me, you just stay faithful. I'm going to blow this thing up out at Kenwood. And so there's hundreds and thousands of people out there. And I believe you guys are just the brothers and sisters to reach them. And it's going to help to have a man like this on board with us. Danny, we love you. Lee Clayton and Trish, I know you're here. Where are y'all? Y'all come on. Danny's single. So don't get any ideas, girls, okay? Lee and Trish have been with us since day one, but heard a fabulous testimony about Lee. Trish serves in our women's ministry, and Lee's gift is the gift of prophecy. He loves to study God's word, and if you're around Lee long enough, he's going to speak truth into your life, whether you want to hear it or not, because he knows that we all need to hear the truth so we can live it out. That's his spiritual gift. And there's his, he couldn't just pick one verse, I guess. That's the gift of truth. That's the gift of prophecy. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. And Wednesday night, we had a powerful midweek prayer service. It's the best one we've had since I've been here. And what we really don't like to own up to is we're a mess. We are poor and needy. And folks just got transparent Wednesday night and began to speak truth. And we prayed over them. I believe some folks got healed and touched by the Spirit of Almighty God Wednesday night. I didn't mean to get off on this, but I just want to give God praise when I was reading those verses. Hallelujah. And Lee gave great testimony about salvation. And one of the things our church needs desperately is for older saints who are mature in the faith to take a younger Christian in the faith and mentor him or her. Heard a fabulous testimony about Lee this morning who really, you still love to ride bikes?
Yeah.
Well,
not as much as I used to.
But Kyle Chandler loves to ride bikes. Amen, brother. And he's kind of taken Kyle under his wing and shared the word of God with him. And Kyle's family's now born again, and they're still meeting once a week. And I want to tell you, you folks that have this kind of hair and you're mature in the faith, we all need to take some younger brothers and sisters under our wings and mentor them and walk with them, because bless God, I'm not going to be here much longer. And you aren't either. And so we need to really pour ourselves into these young folks. Amen? Lee, God bless you. That testimony just, I mean, I told him after we heard, and Greg Lee shared the testimony. He didn't toot his own horn. But I was ready to get up and charge hell with a water pistol after I heard it. So Lee and Trish are with us this morning. We're going to lay hands on them in just a minute. And then Bill Webb and Julie, y'all come on. This is another one of our wonderful couples here in the church. And I really like Bill's favorite Bible verse. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Isn't that a great verse for COVID? Hallelujah. And Bill and Julie both serve. Julie serves on our worship team, and she just is, you know, Julie has trouble saying no. When you ask her to do something, she's all in, and she supports her husband. Bill, I think his spiritual gift is the gift of ministry, the gift of service. He's done a couple of CPR classes for us. He is the big dog of the EMTs in Clarksville, and so he knows about all that kind of stuff. He wouldn't want y'all to know this, but I'm going to tell it, okay? He gave us one of those. What do you call those machines where you get strapped on and, you know?
AED.
An AED? Not ADD, an AED. And so he gave one of those to the church, and they're not cheap. And most of you don't know, during COVID, he, of his own free will and his own time, and at his expense, he's come down here and fogged this church probably 200 or 300 times just to keep the germs down and all that. But these are all servants, and they're willing to serve the Lord. Deacon ministry provides unity and harmony in the body of Christ. It works well with the pastoral ministry. And when deacons are doing what they ought to do, which is serving the needs of the church, and the pastors are preaching the Word of God and leading the prayer ministry, the church doesn't just grow, it multiplies. Hallelujah. So we're going to lay hands on them, not to hurt them or beat them up or anything. The Scripture says that those first deacons, the elders of the church, laid hands on them as a sign of support. These men and women, they're already gifted for what God's called them to do. We don't supply the gifts, they've got them. And so we're just going to, as a sign of support, pray over them and ask God to just bless their ministry. And then we've got these deacon ordination certificates for each one of them, and we're going to give those to them. So what we want to do right now is ask all of our ordained men to come. And we're gonna, and you ordained men, bring your wives, because we've got some females up here that need prayer too. All right? So y'all just come on. And oh, there's Stephanie. Praise God. We were in six, I think, laundromats yesterday, and we were out in St. B, and we got to minister to several people there at the laundromat. And we've done this laundromat ministry many times. But we've never had anybody pray for us. We're always praying for them. Well, this sweet lady right back here, Stephanie, we helped her with some laundry issues and put some quarters in the washing machine and the dryer and all that. And then she said a few minutes later, could y'all come over here? I want to pray for y'all. Amen. Hallelujah. And so right then I gave her one of my cards and I said, please come visit our church. And so here she is. Bless God. Amen. Thank you, Larry Vaden, for putting that together, brother. Yeah, he doesn't want thing. All right. I want to ask our Kenwood pastor, our campus pastor, Derek Simonis, is with us. And Danny's one of his newest deacons. And y'all, let's just all, if you deacons and wives would just turn towards the altar that way. And guys, your backside looks better than your front side. So let's just gather around them and lay hands on them as a sign of support. And Derek, you lead us in this prayer for these deacons and their wives, would you?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, more than that, we thank you for these men.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I thank you for Brother Danny.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for what he's meant to the Kenwood Baptist Church across the years.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, you know the heavy burden at times that he's carried, no doubt. And I know he has, Lord, and the work that he's put in, often, most of the time, has been unseen. And Lord, he's been so faithful across the years, Lord. And he'll continue to be faithful. Lord, I just ask that you would bless him now, Lord, as we ordain him into the ministry of the deacon. Lord, I just pray that you would set him on fire, Lord, for you. Lord, use him in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. God, I pray that as you continue to use him, Lord, that the ministry would grow through Kenwood, Lord. Use these other men, Lord, that you would just, you would magnify your name.
Bless them, Father.
You'd magnify your work.
Mm-hmm.
As only you can do, Lord. We sure love you. We're so thankful for what you're doing. So thankful for Calvary. The blood of Jesus. Thankful for what you're doing today. In Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for the Webbs, for Julie and Bill. We thank you for the Claytons, for Lee and Trish. Oh, God, we're so blessed to have these families in our church. And it's not even our church, it's your church. And so, God, I pray you would open doors, even as Derek has prayed for Brother Danny. I pray for these two, Lord. Thank you for sending them our way. Use their giftedness that they already have. We support them in this ministry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. for being so, so good. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. All God's children said, amen.
May our hearts be opened and our worship pour out. We go to the Lord in prayer this morning, Lily.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you with our praise, Lord, for you are holy. There is none higher than you, none greater than you. We worship, we praise you, we thank you, Lord, for your wondrous deeds, your righteousness. You've blessed us, Lord, with abundance. We thank you and we praise you. There is none higher than you, Lord. And Father, each of us has come together today to get something from your word, Lord. Fall fresh upon us, Lord. Speak to us through your word as you use Brother Cal, as you blessed him through this week as he studied your word, Lord, and given him words to speak to us. Help our hearts, Lord, our eyes to be attentive and to hear your word, to see what you have for us, Lord. Use us as we leave this place to touch our community, to reach others for Christ as the day is coming close to an end. And we see your signs of coming. We see the world in turmoil. We pray for our brothers and sisters throughout this world, Lord, who are suffering persecution, but yet they stand tall because of the Holy Spirit, the power that's in your name and in your word, Lord. We ask that you would just fill us with you. Fill us with your spirit, Lord, and your power, that we may declare your word to others, that many may be saved through Jesus. So we praise you. We thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.
Good morning. If you have a copy of God's word, be finding 2 Kings. That's way over there in your New Testament, in your Old Testament, rather, 2 Kings chapter 2. All right. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Thomas, if you'd give me some lights up here a little bit, just a tad, where the blind preacher can see. All right. If you have found 2 Kings chapter 2, we're going to be in verses 1 through 14, but I just want us to focus on just one verse right now. Let's all stand as we honor the reading of God's word, 2 Kings chapter 2. And look at verse 9. We'll come back to these other verses here in a minute. Are you there? Okay, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And so it was when they had crossed over, that's the Jordan River, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Father, would you bless, just bless and honor your word this morning. Fill our hearts with your word. And may your spirit be manifest in here today as we make much of your Son and our Savior. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, the title of the message today is, Are You Praying for a Double Portion of God's Power? And if you're a guest or a visitor this morning, just want you to know Second Mile Church in the month of January has been praying and fasting. We have been praying for a lot of different things with a spiritual goal in mind. We've been telling God, imagine us telling God anything, but we've been expressing to God, maybe is a better term, that we desire His power in our life more than we even desire food. And when God sees that and hears that, it gets His attention. And so we've been praying and fasting this month. And I want to ask you, how big are the prayers that you've been praying this month? How big are they? You know, the Bible contains many marvelous answers to prayers as you read through the Scriptures. And not just small prayers, but big prayers of faith. Y'all know we serve a big God, don't you? And we need to be praying big prayers because big prayers honor God. I mean, Joshua prayed and the sun stood still for several hours. Think about that. So that the Israelite army could have victory. Elijah prayed for the fire of God to fall on the enemies of God on Mount Carmel. Big prayers. Moses prayed for God to part the waters of the Red Sea so that the Israelites could cross over on dry ground. Big prayers. And I love the Apostle Paul. Many times he prayed big, marvelous, supernatural prayers for healing and deliverance. I think of the prayers of Jesus as he prayed for the raising of Lazarus and the feeding of the 5,000 and the stilling of the storms. I'll tell you, big prayers, large, huge prayers, honors God. Because He is a great, big God. Never is there a hint in the Bible that any man ever expected too much from God. And never does the Bible tell us that God is displeased with someone who's asking for a major request, who has a big prayer. And I think God honors that. And so, what are you praying about? Did you know that big prayers reveals how big our God is? Do you know that? So I want to ask you again, what are you praying about this month as we pray and fast together? Are you asking God for something big, something major? This means yes. All right. One of the most audacious prayers, I guess is the word I'm looking for, in all the Bible is this prayer that Elisha asked for. He's a young prophet who's been following the great prophet Elijah for several years. And he was Elijah's understudy and servant. And Elijah was about to head out to heaven. And in that fiery chariot, you know the story, you know, he was raptured, taken up. And just before that, Elisha asked for this unbelievable, huge request for a double portion of Elijah's power. What he's asking for was twice as much of the power of the Holy Spirit that Elijah had. Huge prayer. Elijah had prayed big prayers for the dead to be raised. He prayed for the heavens to shut up, the rains for 3.5 years, and there was no rain for 3.5 years. He prayed that the fire of God would fall fresh on Mount Carmel in order to defeat the 450 prophets of Baal. I want to tell you, Elijah had some of the most marvelous, majestic, miraculous prayers answered since anybody, since Moses, really. And so this is a huge request that Elisha's asking for. Give me a double portion. And more astounding, you know what God did? He answered that prayer. What are you praying for, sister? My brother, what are you praying for? Is your request so large that it honors God? Is it? What are you praying for? And so I want to just, there's three movements in this text here in verses 1 through 14. I want to say three things about big prayers. Big prayers, if you're not careful, can lead to discouragement. Say, uh-oh. Big prayers can be kind of discouraging sometimes, but when that happens, just keep on praying. Look at you now. I wished I'd have brought this hat I got from Brother Jimmy Terry years ago. And it had in big letters, P-U-S-H on it. It's a black hat and red lettering. It's a beautiful hat. And it said PUSH on it. You know what PUSH stood for? Pray until something happens. Y'all remember those hats? Anyways, I meant to bring it, left it hanging in the closet. But we're going to keep praying, amen? Even when those big prayers don't seem to be getting answered, somehow God had revealed to Elijah and Elisha in the school of prophets that Elijah was about to be raptured. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now you see those that verb there, take up? That is the same word that's used over in Genesis 5 when Enoch was taken up, raptured. There's only two men in the Bible that have never died, Enoch and Elijah, a Gentile and a Jew. And I personally believe those are going to be the two witnesses that the book of Revelation talks about. Some folks think one of them is Moses and the other is Elijah. That's okay. Everybody's got their opinion. Everybody's got a right to be wrong. Amen? And so that's another sermon for another time. But I don't know how God relayed that message to Elijah and Elisha in the school of prophets. But look at verse 2. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please. For the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elisha said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please. For the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Does it sound familiar? Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Somehow God had revealed to all these people that Elijah was about to leave. He's about to be taken up, raptured. And as I mentioned before, it's the same word that's used over in Genesis chapter 5. Now, Elisha, for the most part, was accustomed to taking the words of Elijah as if they were directly from the Word of God. But in these verses, Elisha refuses to listen to Elijah's suggestion that he stay at Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho, and the Jordan River. Somehow, Elisha knew that Elijah was about to be raptured, was about to be taken out. And all Elisha knew was that he wanted to succeed Elijah. He felt like God was directing him to be the new prophet when Elijah left. And somehow he knew, "I need the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon me." He expected to receive what he was praying for. And so that's why he wouldn't leave Elijah. Because he's got this prayer request. He's got this big prayer. And he would not leave until he got his answer. He wanted a double portion of the Spirit of Almighty God. Are y'all with me? There'll be times when you're praying, and there'll be seasons when you're asking God to do something only He can do. And sometimes you just got to be patient and bulldog patient and just hang in there and keep praying. Don't get discouraged. Somebody shout, "Push" with me. Push. Pray until something happens. Just keep on praying. Sometimes it can get a little bit discouraging when you don't hear. But let me tell you what, when we're praying, especially big prayers that honor and glorify God, God's working behind the scenes in other people's lives. And that takes a little time to set that stage. And so you just be faithful. You just keep praying. Stay with the stuff. Keep on praying. What's that word again? Pray until something happens. That's right. Push. Now here's a second thing in verses 8 through 10. Let's look at that. Big prayers always glorify God. Now Elijah, verse 8, took his mantle. Now a prophet's mantle was pretty much his outer garment, a cloak. And that was a sign and a symbol of his prophetic ministry. Verse 8. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. They're there at the Jordan River's edge, and it was divided this way and that, so the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, What may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Verse 10. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken up from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Elijah took his mantle off, rolled it up. And again, the mantle was a symbol of the power of God. Much like the rod of Moses and Aaron. Are y'all with me? Okay. And then he rolled it up, struck the waters of the Jordan, and then the waters of the Jordan rolled back or peeled back. Does that sound familiar? Let me just stop right here for a minute. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you need for God to do. Maybe it's something miraculous. Maybe it's supernatural. Can I just go ahead and tell you? God loves to do the supernatural. God enjoys answering big prayers, especially when He can do something that no one else can do. Who gets the glory for that? He does. And so you just keep on praying that big prayer that you're praying that glorifies God. And so the waters roll back and the two men, the old prophet Elijah and the young prophet Elisha, they cross over on to dry ground. And then when they get over across the Jordan River, they get to the launching pad. I say these silly things just to make sure y'all are listening. I really do. The place where Elijah's about to head out to heaven in that chariot of deity. And when they get there, Elijah asked Elisha, what is it that you need for God to do? And Elisha gave him his request. He wanted twice the power that Elijah had been operating under. And isn't it interesting what Elisha asked for? You know, we probably would have asked for good health. In this season of COVID, isn't that what many of us would have asked for? He asked for good health. No, he didn't ask for good health. Did he ask for bigger barns and a bigger house? No, he didn't ask for that. Did he ask for wealth or possessions or a long life? No, he didn't ask for any of that. He just asked for the power of God to fall on him. Can I tell you? That is exactly what needs to happen to every born-again believer in this church house this morning. For the power of God to fall on us afresh and anew. So that when we walk out of here, we're different than the way we came in. And then when folks see us, they get the hand. I mean, I'm sure Stephanie felt like those four men from Second Mile are ugly as sin, but they got something that I want. And so she's here today. And so when people experience the power of God and they see the power of God at work, they want some of what we got. Are y'all with me over here? Y'all not quite as loud as they are over there. All right. So big prayers glorify God. And Elijah even said, well, big boy, you've asked for a hard thing. Big prayers glorify God because it shows others how powerful our God is. Does anybody know what Jeremiah 32:17 says? There's nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N, nothing too hard for God. There isn't anything too hard for God. And then God's telephone number, I love this one, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you. And I will tell you or show you great and mighty things which you don't know anything about. Great and mighty things. You say you can't get great and mighty things unless you ask for them. Hello? Do you believe in what you're praying for? Great big things. I mean, God can do. Hey, anybody that can speak the universe into existence out of absolutely nothing can take care of our prayer requests. Hallelujah. So I got to thinking this week about Moses. And he prayed for God to open up the earth and swallow the folks who were against his leadership that were giving him all kinds of headaches and heartaches. King Hezekiah prayed a great prayer of faith. And God slew 185,000 Assyrians overnight. Hezekiah also got sick, terminally ill. And you remember what he prayed for? Oh, God, just give me a little more time. And God gave him 15 more years. Whoo! When Joshua prayed for more time so that Israel might have victory, God stopped the rotation of the earth for several hours so that Israel could finish up and wipe up the enemy. Amen? And so God intended for us to pray great prayers because they glorify Him. And so whatever it is you're praying for, just keep on praying. What's that word? What's that word? What's that word? Pray until something happens. Keep pushing. Keep praying. And then here's the last thing. Verses 11 through 14. Big prayers prosper God's work. Big prayers prosper God's work. Verse 11. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Oh, I wish I had more time to unpack that. How'd you like to go home on a cloud of glory? How'd you like to go home on a chariot of deity? Whew. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that. And Elisha crossed over. When Elisha's standing there and he's watching Elijah go home, the mantle of Elijah had fallen on the ground. And so what does he do? Well, the first thing he does is he rips his clothing in two. That's a sign of mourning or grieving. But you also need to know that that is a sign of leaving the past behind. I don't know who I'm talking to up in here this morning. But some of y'all need to let whatever it is that's holding you back, you need to let that go. Look at your neighbor and say, let it go. Now look at your neighbor on the other side and tell them, let it go. And so Elisha stands up and picks up the mantle of Elijah. And he walks back to the Jordan River. And he rolls that thing up and touches the water. And what happens? The waters part. The waters part. He says, he cries out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the waters rolled back on either side. And Elisha walked over on dry ground. Where are the people who will pray and claim the great and mighty power of God? Where are the Elishas of our day? Where are the Apostle Pauls of our day? Where are they? Where are the Martin Luther's of our day? Where are the D.L. Moody's and the Billy Graham's of our day? The Lord's work suffers today because God's people aren't praying great prayers of faith. What about the missionaries? They can't get to the fields because we can't pray big prayers. What about the harvest fields who are empty? Churches die and revival doesn't come because we don't pray great, big, faith-filled prayers. Y'all stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me here. Now, how do I know that we would have revival in all its fullness if we would ask for God to do something only He can do? Because it's all through the Scripture. God wants to revive His people. God wants to do a great work among us. God saved Nineveh, why couldn't He save Clarksville? Hello? I mean, God touches different counties and nations. He's still in that business. Why couldn't He do it here? Because we don't pray that way. We're going to. We're getting there. Amen. What are you praying for? Is what you're praying for so big that it honors and glorifies God and it prospers God's work? Well, God, that's a prayer God's going to answer. Let me close with this. You know, I don't know exactly how he did it, but God answered Elisha's prayer. There were 8 mighty, huge supernatural miracles in Elijah's ministry. Okay? And when Elisha asked for a double portion, he's asking for double the amount of power that Elijah had. Do you know, guess how many major miracles Elisha prayed for? And they happened. 16. And you, if you don't believe me, go to 2 Kings chapter 2 through 20 and just read. And you'll find all 16 of them. God blesses big prayers. He blesses big prayers. Now, having said that, let me give you a quick story and we'll be done. During the Revolutionary War, General George Washington and the American troops were camped up in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. The British soldiers were camped in Philadelphia. And they were just kind of taking things easy there in Philadelphia, but it wasn't so up at Valley Forge. It was a cold winter. General Washington's soldiers, many of them were starving to death. They were dying from exposure. They didn't have enough blankets. And it was said that you could see General George Washington very often praying for his men, for his soldiers. And when he couldn't get a priest or a preacher, he would just lead the prayer time and the prayer meeting. And listen to this. One officer wrote, "On every practicable occasion, he, General Washington, sought God's blessing. And when no chaplain was present, he often called his staff officers around him and lifted his heart and voice in prayer." One morning, the troops noticed something about the old Schuylkill River. There was a commotion going on down in the river. It looked almost like it was boiling. And so some of the soldiers went down there and looked at it. But instead of asking questions and, casting doubt on what was going on, you know what it was? It was millions of these little shad fish that were swimming upstream in the river. And they didn't normally do that at that time of the year. But do you think those soldiers asked any question? Well, why is this going on? And began to, gather statistics and all this silly stuff that we do. You know what they did? They got their pitchforks and their shovels and got down in the river and began to scoop all those shad up there on the bank. And they wound up having enough food all winter long. Let me tell you something. God answers big prayers. And He takes care of His people by any means necessary. And I want to ask you, Mark 9:23, listen to this, and we're done. Mark 9:23 says this, "Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.'" Would you bow your heads and let's pray together? Lord, we've run out of time this morning, but that's okay, because you got all the time in the world. You're holding time in your hands. And there is nothing, and there is no one like Brother Lee prayed, like our great God. And Father, I've been reading about all these prayer requests and the spiritual goals of our people that have been fasting and praying for the month of January. And many of them are praying great big prayers. And help us, God, to exercise our faith by the very prayers that we're praying. God, would we pray great, big, mighty, and awesome prayers that only You could answer? There's nothing too hard for you, Father. You can turn tragedy into triumph. You can turn ashes into beauty. There isn't anything you can't do. So I pray that during this season, God, that you would encourage the saints of God, that you would encourage us with answered prayer. And Lord, the greatest miracle that ever happens is when an old lost, hell-bound sinner repents of their sin and by faith trusts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And maybe there's one or two or ten here this morning that have never truly been born again. And if that's your testimony today, if you don't know if you're saved, if you're in the kingdom of God, if you will just repent, that's a big word for spiritual U-turn. If you'll turn from your sin and be so sick and sorry for it, and by faith look to Jesus as your only means of forgiveness and salvation, and then call on Him, ask Him to come and to save your soul. He'll forgive you, and He'll do great and mighty things in your life that you don't know anything about this morning. Right there where you sit, just pray. And many of you had big prayer requests. And you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and pour your heart out to God. You've got a prayer request? Just do like Elisha. And bring it to the Lord. Father, during this time of decision and response, for those that have prayed for a miraculous healing of their heart, that have been truly saved here this morning, I pray you'd give them the courage to come forward. Just speak to me or one of our men or one of our ladies. And help us to get them started right on their new life in Christ. And then there's many who are burdened. Oh God, burden our hearts for what you're burdened for. Give us your desires as we come to pray this morning. In Jesus' name and for His sake.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.